Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, here we go. They try to emasculate you. They say you're an animal. They try to medicate you.
Just let me liberate you. Don't be scared, own your nature. The Nazis will ruin your future.
War on boys.
No toy guns. Take your meds. War on boys. War on boys. War on boys. War on boys. War on boys.
Welcome to the Jake Pentland Show. I am Jake Pentland. I'm very excited about today's guest and today's show. But let me say hi to my friends first. So, Jen, how are you? Are you here?
I am here. I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing good. You're as excited as I am?
I'm really excited. I've been excited. You've had me pumped up since the day I met you about Christina Hoff Summers, so I can't wait. And I have all boys, so...
This is going to be a good show. Yeah, this is my white whale. I've been trying to get her for years. Susie, how are you, my love?
Good. I'm excited for the guest as well. It's not every day we get an accredited guest on the show.
Well, every show, someone's accredited. It's usually just me. So this is exciting because she's an actual doctor, not just claims to be one like myself. And Eli, great job singing the theme song with me, dude. I thought we were pretty awesome.
Yeah, I was feeling it. So it turned out really well.
Yeah, Eli was the one that came up with the idea and wrote most of the lyrics, and I was very, very proud. I love it. So anyway, I see that Christina is actually already on hold. We'll just go right into it, man. I don't need a preamble this time and blabber like normal. Christina, are you there?
I am.
How are you?
How are you? I'm fine.
I'm very excited. As you know, I think I sent you an email maybe a year and a half ago. And this has been the worst game of email and phone tag I've ever played, but I'm happy you're here.
I know, we played it for a while, and then we lost touch, and now you found me again, so it's good.
I have. And what do you prefer to be called? Is it Doctor or Christina or Mrs.
Oh,
Summers?
Christina is fine.
Christina is fine, okay. What's that noise? Is that your phone?
No.
There we go. Someone fixed it. Thank you. So anyway, Christina Hoff Summers is someone that I'm very fond of and look up to. I'll stop talking about how fond I am and tell you why. Or I'll actually let her tell you why. But she is the author of the book War on Boys, which is something I've talked about on the show many times. It probably comes up once a week. And I haven't really had much luck, Christina, getting people on my side. Usually I think it's because I'm a man, in my opinion, because usually they just shoot me down and say that I'm crazy and making this stuff up. So can you just
when my book came out the first time, which was in when my book came out in 2000, it was controversial and people said it's not true and girls are victims and so forth. But now there's been so many stories, and if you look at the rates of young men and women going to college and just how many problems boys have, I would think people would be more receptive.
Yeah, I do too, but you know, I've argued that this whole movement, whatever we want to call it, is reactive, and there does seem to be... What I'm talking about is the modern feminist movement. I'm trying to come up with good semantics for it because I used to just say feminazis and then my feminist sisters and mom yelled at me. So there's something I got to differentiate. There's feminists, which we all love. You love yourself. You consider yourself an equity feminist or equality feminist, whatever you call it. I consider myself someone who's very proud and wants equality for all. But then there's this other kind of feminist that a lot of people call feminists. Feminazis, the modern feminists, and it seems to be very reactive, and there does seem to be a lot of spite towards men, and it's misguided, and that's why I'm really happy to have you call in, because I want you to talk.
Yeah, well, I would say, like, young women that take one too many gender studies courses, it's as if their minds are poisoned by these hate statistics, because the hardliners manufacture this propaganda that implicates the average guy in all these atrocities. None of it is true, but a small percentage of young women believe it. I like to think most don't, but who knows? Because it's pervasive. It's in magazines, and of course, it's, as I said, it's in the college courses. But what I would say about feminists is that here's what happened. There were inequities. We needed a movement in the 60s and 70s. If you go back, there were all sorts of arbitrary barriers. And what happened is we built this network of women's groups, hundreds, thousands, this massive lobby. Well, what happens when you succeed? And when women are not just 50% of college enrollments, they're 60, 65%. What happens when, you know, most of the wage gap can now be explained by the choices that men and women make for their careers and how long they stay in the workplaces, and it doesn't appear to be discrimination. They have not accepted yes for an answer. And there they are. They're still ready to pounce for all these imagined injustices. But meantime, men have almost nothing. They don't have a network of lobbying groups and organizations working on their behalf. And so there's this asymmetry with this vast women's lobby and only a few struggling groups for men.
Well, I would argue, you know, the pendulum does tend to swing, and I can understand a woman or even a modern feminist view now saying, well, we had to form these networks and these groups because things were so bad for so long, and now, you know, they're getting better, and you guys are complaining. You men just can't handle it when the tables are turned, and it does sound spiteful to me. But like anything, when a pendulum swings too far one way, it doesn't just swing back to the center. It comes back the complete opposite way, and over time it slowly sort of balances out. And that's the thing I've been fighting for and talking about a lot on the show was, you know, I put it this way, it's like you won. You know, it's over, ladies. It's good. Things are good now. Let's let it go right back to center. We're equal. Let's move on. And that's
and the rise of women does not require the fall of men. And here's the problem. A lot of these groups have the view that it's a zero-sum game. It's like there's this prize, and either Venus is going to win or Mars is going to win, and they're on the side of Venus, and they don't want to hear anything about men's problems. And the very idea that men could have problems, they reject. Or unless they translate it into their own little gender speak, that men are oppressed by their own masculinity, that sort of thing. But they really aren't interested because they see this competition, and that is the fallacy. It is not men versus women competing for a trophy. We're in this together, and I just hope most young women see that and are, you know, and realize, yes, they have problems and there are unresolved equity issues for women, but there are just as many issues for men now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it does, like, I don't know how to end this. You know what I mean? Like, how can we move on together? Because, you know, you're a woman, I'm a man, we're in complete agreement. Most people probably in America, I would say, are in agreement that things are fairly equal, and there just seems to be this sort of subculture of really powerful people. I don't even know if they're women or feminazis. I don't even know who's running it, honestly.
Oh, it's very,
it could be the Illuminati for MK Ultra. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
At Swarthmore College, a friend of mine has a daughter there, who's reasonable, but there are these young women that are just, they are obsessed with the idea that Swarthmore College is a rape culture. And they again, have invented these statistics, and they march around, and they're frightening young women because they could easily ruin a boy by making false accusations. And there are false accusations all the time and trumped-up charges. And it's frightening for a mother of a boy in college right now. Because of this atmosphere, this venomous atmosphere towards men, and this fantasy that we're living in a society where there's this epidemic of rape. I mean, crime has gone way down, and it includes campus crime. If you look at the data from the FBI or from police departments, you don't find these crimes in that are being reported by the students, and so there's something's amiss, and we need some good research. But what happens is you get the activists doing the research, and so they produce advocacy numbers rather than truth.
Right. I mean,
so anyway, that's where I see the real sort of fierce and irrational, I would almost call it a kind of fanatical movement. And I thought it was going away. I've been fighting it with my friend Camille Paglia for years, and I thought it was going away. And then it came back with a vengeance on the campus in the last couple of years. And I might say the Department of Education is helping by changing the rules, but that's another story.
Well, let me say this. You have, you said you had a son in college. Have your views always been this way, or did having a son sort of change the way you see things? I mean, were you like a young feminist, you know, and back in burning your
bra?
Yeah,
but I never. I'm from California. I think just growing up there, I didn't hate guys. I never did. Everybody was sort of laid back, and it was in the, you know, flower child day. And I never had that. I thought being a feminist meant I could have as much fun as boys, and you know, I just didn't see it as being angry at someone. It was not like that. I don't know where that came from. It came from the East Coast. It didn't come from California.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to get to the bottom of that. But, Jen, you have a question?
I do have a question. Hi, Christina.
Just speak up.
Jen.
Hi.
Hi. I've been communicating with you, but now I get to hear you, so I'm happy to meet you. My question is, and I know it's a question a lot of maybe feminists, but just people in general have, as you said, there's no lobbyists for men. And I think, you know, you're talking about organized groups, but what about government? What about the lawmakers that make the laws? What about the fact that the majority of those are men?
Well, they don't. Yeah, they may be men. They may be men, but they don't make laws on behalf of men. If you look at what goes on in the family court, if you look at the Obama health care bill, I mean, I'm in favor of having health care, but that bill, it mentions breast about 50 times. There's not a single mention of prostate. I mean, the men are not. It's basically a bill for women and women's health, and men are. And it establishes a whole network of agencies for women's health. Well, I want. I mean, I'm a woman. I want my health. I want you know, to have the facilities and the organizations that are on behalf of women's health. But what about men's health? And that you simply—it's a mistake to think that, because what you have to understand is that the political leaders, a lot of what they do is driven by the lobbyist groups. It makes a huge difference. And
it's important
in
to know.
Washington, yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say the Violence Against Women Act, for instance, just passed through Senate, and I mean we did a show on that. You remember that, Jen? I mean, there are.
Oh yeah.
You know, they're not. I mean, just Christina makes a good point. Just because there's more men in Congress or Senate doesn't mean that all, and like, really, we're not out there, the men in charge aren't making pro-man laws specifically. If anything, it can be argued the opposite. I mean, really.
Well, men don't organize around their own victimization. They just don't.
Yeah.
And I don't know, I things are going to have to be
pretty
bad.
Because we're better in every way, pretty much.
No,
because we're stronger and better.
It'll probably be their moms that'll end up out there campaigning on their behalf, because
right,
yeah,
and I have three little boys, so I'm with you on pretty much everything you're saying. I just think that there are a lot of men out there that have control to make decisions for themselves. So, you know, same thing. I don't like to victimize anybody, but there is still some inequities, and one of those is government, and the other is wages. And
wait, you say government. Let's just address that, because
okay.
There was a very good study by an institute here in Washington, and I think they were even feminists, so I don't want to say all feminists do shoddy research. This was great research, and they looked at why aren't women in government. And you know what they found out? It's not because people won't vote for women. It's not because women can't win elections. When women run, they win as often as men. It's because women don't come forward to run. And if you ask them why, and they say, they'll explain, oh, you know, I don't really, you know, sounds so horrible to go out and, you know, all that confrontation and so forth. And women just don't come forward. So if you, instead of complaining about that, women should just lean in, as Sheryl Sandberg says. But
so you don't believe there's
the patriarchy.
I think Christina needs a truth hammer sound effect every time she talks.
But you don't believe there's a generation, the same generation that was with the women that fought for their rights, that generation of men, maybe my dad's age, I think that's about your age as well, that are still chauvinistic and still would not vote for a woman. Like you saying that an equally qualified woman, an equal qualified man running for a government position would be fair. I really think, I mean, I don't want to think that way. I just really believe that people would still be voting for the man they trust.
There's just no evidence of that. I mean, we already have women governors in southern states. We have, when women run, there doesn't appear to be, it's just not there, that discrimination. They win. The big problem is that women don't come forward. And this is what I want young women to understand. And actually, I didn't like certain things in Sheryl Sandberg's book, but what was great in it is she said that too. She said, women, you've got to put yourself forward. You've got to sit at the table if you want the power. You can't just complain. And then, you know, the reason there's a wage gap is largely because in college, girls major in fields that don't pay that well. We're much more likely to major in English or social work or early childhood education. And the guys are majoring in economics and petroleum engineering. If you want to make a lot of money and you know, be very, very effective out in society, you'll major in petroleum engineering. Now, I couldn't stand it, but probably a lot of guys couldn't either, but to the extent that anybody wants to study that, it's far more men than women. So women major in the wrong things in college in terms of getting power. And the second thing is once they're in the workplace, they don't work as many hours as men. They often take a few years out to raise their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can't expect to have the same power if you do that. Now, people will say, well, wait, why should women have to raise the kids? Women want to raise their kids. We have very good data on that. If you ask women, what is your ideal working situation, a large majority say working part-time. And men
right.
don't say that.
Truth hammer, sound effect. This is. I love that I don't have to talk this show. This is great.
I've always said I'm okay with, I guess it's a gender role of raising the children. I did go to school, and I did get my degree to teach. And then once I have my children, I stayed home. And I'm okay, and I don't complain about those things. So I'm just trying to speak for maybe some of the ones that do.
Oh, no. I hear this a lot, and I know a lot of women think it, but we need to think it through. And we need to give guys a break instead of blaming them for what are mostly our own choices. And I do happen to believe that men and women are different. I don't think we make, some of the women's groups will say, oh, you make those choices because you've been conditioned by patriarchy. That's ridiculous to tell that to American women. We're the most informed, educated women in history. who's to say that we are not free? But the feminists who are, you know, disapproving of our choices, they are free. It's ridiculous. We're self-determining beings, and many of us choose to embody the traditional feminine role, and we like it.
I do like it.
And women like a man that is traditional too. I mean, that to me, that's what's really going to cause the pendulum just to shift back to normalcy. Christina, this is my theory. It's already starting to happen.
I think you're right. I think it's
all these men are men now are mm-hmm. you know, they're women. They're whiny. they don't take charge of anything. They can't make up their own mind.
But women don't respect them.
Exactly. So they go out there and they go,
"Oh,
we want a sensitive guy. He's our friend." And then you become that guy, and then you get friend zoned. And then the women feel sort of this like, "Oh man, we got to change. This shit sucks. These guys are. This is pathetic." And now you see it more than ever. Like, you know, I was joking that book. What was it last year? The book that basically they tied up and beat a woman for six books, and it was the number one book. Shades of Grey.
Oh yes,
it's
yes,
like of course that I should have bought stock in that book. I knew that was going to.
I know. I presume there'll be many more because there was a market for it. And I don't think it was men who were buying it.
No, and look, I've talked about this a lot, even my own personal research, which is a term for me watching pornography. I've noticed mainstream pornography has gone that way, too. It's all disturbing. But here's what I want to talk about. Check this segue out, Christina, from pornography to childhood. You wrote the book War on Boys, and, we can talk about gender stuff and men and women. I have to have you back 1,000 different shows because there's literally too much to talk about. But today I really want to focus on the war on boys, because what's happening is, yeah, there are differences between men and women, gender vibes, you know, tranny wars, all the stuff we've gone through. But what's happening is the victims, the real victims right now are boys, young boys growing up in this system, because not only are you talking about falling behind in college, but there's a huge percentage of them that are medicated. They're on ADD medication.
They are medicated.
For having energy.
And they may have mothers who have been divorced who are bitter. And
yeah.
Maybe justifiably, I don't know that, but I do know there are a lot of fatherless boys, and the mothers are angry. Then they go to school. Maybe their teachers have gone through these schools of education where they read Carol Gilligan and all these feminist theorists who say that, you know, women have been silenced and diminished, and so they run their classrooms in a way that is empowering to girls and extremely shaming of boys. Boys are getting in trouble now. Did you see that little article I had in Time magazine on Monday about boys being suspended at huge numbers
Oh, yeah. We've talked about those
stories. It's early preschool.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, but go ahead and talk
playing,
about it, if you don't mind.
Well, little boys, everybody's heard about it. I mean, they've heard about kids getting suspended for going bang, bang, or
right.
One little boy bit a Pop-Tart into the shape of a gun.
Yeah,
and
talk about
only
that
was
every
he
week.
Suspended, but the school brought in, I don't say offered counseling to children that might have been frightened because of because he did that. And they change, you know, they're changing tug of war to tug of peace. And
oh,
I read
Lord.
About schools where they can't play chase. And you have little boys, think about this. Little boys love to play chase. Girls do too, but boys do it a lot more.
Right.
Rough and tumble play is the play of young males, and not only in our other species as well as ours. It's their characteristic play, their mode. Little girls do it, but we do many other things. We do imaginative theatrical games. You have your best friend. You exchange confidences. That's very important. Boys don't do that. They want that rough and tumble play. Well, in schools, they're not allowing it. I read about a school where they wanted them to play Circle of Friends. That's a game of tag. This was recommended by the National Education Association and funded by the Department of Education. In Circle of Friends, you play tag, but nobody's ever out.
Come
now,
on.
Isn't that fun? No.
You know, I have a
nobody
word for this.
They want to calm boys down. Yes.
Well, it's offensive. I probably should have warned you that I have the sense of humor of 13.
Oh, years. That's all right. I've been on. I can take it. I have two Gen X sons.
Oh, perfect. Okay, well, this has been really my, you know,
the wussification.
The pussification. I had the P.
I'll say the friendly way.
Okay, I'll do the friendly way for you. Yeah, so the wussy movement,
or
I call
kiddified.
It.
Kiddified, kiddified.
Yeah, and a lot of people don't, they just think I'm angry and out of my mind. They don't see what is so clear about it. And the worst part of this is it does happen. I mean, they have Little League games and T-balls where they don't keep scores because they don't want kids to feel like they lost or being tagged, and it's just terrible for everybody, but especially for boys.
Terrible
because,
for the little boys.
Yeah,
terrible.
This is how
and
they
here's
function.
The worst thing. Little yeah. boys... 3 or 4 or 5, they like to cast themselves as heroes. They have this play, this heroic play, vanquishing bad guys, and they'll throw, you know, one little boy was suspended, like a 7-year-old, because he was saving the world by killing bad guys and threw an imaginary grenade. He and his friend were happily playing, suspended. Now, they are punishing that little boy. They are criminalizing his imagination. This is a terrible thing to do to children.
And here's the worst part of it. What they do is because once you start crushing that out of a boy and saying that's evil and you're aggressive and you're an evil man that rapes and kills everyone when you grow up, which is a great thing to say to a young boy, then the boy starts going, well, shit, I got all this energy. I mean, I play with my hands. I rough and tumble. What am I supposed to do? They don't let them have recess anymore, barely. They've cut PE from schools. So now you have these boys just sitting with this tremendous amount of untapped energy, and they know something's wrong, and then so they start having energetic outbursts, quote unquote, in class, and then they get fucking medicated for ADD. Then they get put on meth. They get put on meth their whole life.
Well, you know, it sounds like we're spinning a paranoid conspiracy. However,
it's true.
The percentage of little boys, but there's some truth to it. And to this extent, a high percentage of little boys in some like middle class communities, as many as 20% of the boys are medicated. Now, I'm not against prescribing Ritalin because I've know enough psychiatrists have talked to in the research for my book that there are children that have genuine, condition and they need this. But almost every psychiatrist I've interviewed will tell me it is vastly overprescribed. And yes, they agree we probably are in many cases medicating little boyness, and rather than trying to meet the child's needs for play and self-expression, we shame boys for the way they play. We shame them for their imaginative and their fantasies. And the reason we do it is there's this panic about male violence. But at a time, as I said, where violence is at an all-time low. And I know there have been these horrible, sensational crimes, but what people have to keep in mind is a simple truth, which is that a tiny percentage of men are, and some women, but probably more men, are sociopathic and violent. But most men are not sociopaths. Most men are not criminals. Most boys want to be decent human beings. They need some help from their parents. All children need to be civilized and turned into conscientious human beings, but they do not need to be turned into girls.
Right.
And that's what some mothers and certainly teachers, schools are trying to do. So there is, let's say, the feminization of boys.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
honestly,
yeah.
Christina, can I say something really quick, Jake?
Yeah,
when
you
I
can talk,
first started
woman.
Doing this show, thank you, sir. when I first started doing this show, I was kind of on that path because I started out teaching preschool, and then I went to elementary school, and they really do teach you. It's that movement of use your words, and you know, very, very sensitive training for the boys. And I did not let them play with guns. I did not let them, and this was, you know, they were probably three and five. But I realized Jake kind of made a bet with me and had me try it, and it didn't make them more violent to let them role play the way they wanted to. And they have rules. There's rules within it. There's rules with the wrestling. They get to wrestle when we are there. They play tap out. So there's a limit, and you know,
right.
But they still get to do it. But they learn that there's boundaries. When someone says stop, you stop. And they haven't gotten more violent. They love each other, and all they do is cuddle.
No,
but they want to wrestle.
That's social. They're learning critical social skills. And this has been studied carefully. Very rarely does it escalate to violence. One researcher found only in 1% of the time. In fact, the boys are so happy, they're transfixed, they're occupied. And these researchers that I talked to said that by stopping this play and by constantly interfering and showing disapproval, we may actually be harming boys in their literacy skills, in their early writing and reading, because play is the basis for learning. And if boys, as they play, they're in an environment of disapproval, it's going to hurt and injure their capacity to learn.
Right. And then they grow up wussies, and then you have the wussification of America, and then everyone's crazy. See,
my favorite is
the
Russell.
Some get just
myself.
Really angry.
Oh, one at a time. Who was going first there? Is that you, Jen?
Christine.
No, Christine. Go ahead, Christine.
No, I didn't know what I was saying. I forgot. Go ahead.
Well, actually, I was going to say wrestling my boys is my favorite because, one, they get to wrestle me, so they're getting some physical stuff out, and they team up against me, and I pin both of them down. So then they get some respect for women while they're at it. But, no, I'm glad that I really let them explore that area, and they do it. Most of the gunplay is outside, and nothing propels. There's no one that's going to get hurt, so I just let them go out back, and they shoot at each other and have fun and role play, and it's been fine, and they're still my little sweeties.
You're welcome, Jen.
I know.
For the
thank you, Uncle Baldy.
Yes, I was very, very concerned. We've got some callers. Christine, was there anything else? I mean, like, I have to have you back. You know that, right?
Oh, and I'll come back.
You will, you promise. Because I could do this for 15 hours. But I want to take some calls and let you get on with your Saturday. Johnny, you're on the air.
Hey, Jake, thanks for taking my call. Enjoying the show so far. Just wondering, I'm wondering if maybe a case could be made. It sounds like your guests, you know, each of the examples that she's giving on the topic are well-researched, and I don't contest any of them. I just wonder if maybe a case could be made, or if you're open to the idea if somebody who puts forth the antithesis of that and says that, you know, I think a case can be made that we're hyper-masculinized. We're in a situation where we've watched, you know, prize fighting with two guys bobbing around with big 15-ounce gloves. We watched that turn into cage fighting where they beat each other's brains in. And I watched that. You know, I'm not saying it's bad. But we're watching little white boys. I mean, for every kid that you're talking about that's hassled in school, I mean, I just see evidence of just, you know, little white boys in the suburbs talking like gangsters and thinking they're pimps and calling women bitches and hoes. I'm looking at things like rape numbers of women in the military. I'm looking at the fact that we spend one penny for every $10 bill on women's sports in college. And lots of girls like to play sports. They really do. I mean, I don't want to stereotype. I'm looking at the idea how used we are to war. And we start kids with violent video games. The games and the kids' play seems to be so much more oriented towards shooting and killing. We've gone from cowboys and Indians with a bow and arrow and a six gun, you know, to these just splatter games. And then finally, maybe the biggest influence of all, your guest was saying, you know, maybe it's just that women don't come forward and run for religion, but maybe all these things that she's stating are a form of kind of an affirmative action whereby maybe people are stepping a little too far over the line, but maybe it's in response to 20 or to 25 centuries of the idea that women should be submissive. I mean, 73% of Americans identify as Christians when they're polled. So, I mean, you know, without getting too radical, that means that they believe that there's a giant, some form of a giant male presence that they're supposed to bow down to, and that they should be somewhat submissive and obedient to their husbands, et cetera. So I look at all this, and I just think that somewhat of a case can be made for the fact that, that our culture has been hyper-masculinized. You know, you see kids in the 7th and 8th grade lifting weights, taking steroids, trying to get like the athletes. I mean, these guys look like muscle men compared to the athletes when I was a kid. I'm not that old. So,
let's do a reality check here. Let's start with the muscle men. The big problem with American kids is obesity and being fat. So the ones that are the muscle men, that's already you're talking about a minority of a minority. You talked about the violence in the military. About 3 weeks ago, there was a female officer who wrote a very good op-ed in the Wall Street Journal saying that that study that showed this extremely high incidence of sexual assault was specious, that it was done in an unscientific way. People may not recall that it showed men were violated as much as women, and that very high rates. But then they looked more carefully and saw that it included things like slapping somebody on the behind and so forth. These were counted as sexual assault. So you have to be careful with the numbers. If you want to characterize American society and say how violent it is, since we've been keeping records, there haven't been such low levels of violence. And no one's been able to make a connection between the video games and violence. They just haven't been able to do it. And they watch the most violent video games of all in Japan, and they're not violent. Those kids are not violent. You talk about sports in school and how women can't play. Men's teams are being eliminated left and right. So women can play because they have to have statistical parity. That's what the government is requiring. But yet there are, you know, 5 or 6 men who want to be on a team for every woman. I don't deny there are women who are fantastic athletes and women who are jocks, but not as many as men. And so
we're talking about century after century of things being a certain way, and to blame the victim and say that women don't run for office as much as men, do this, that, or the other as much as men. Let's face it. I mean, we've been told on the highest authority that there is, most people do identify as belonging to a religion. And what is a bigger presence than an omnipresent, omniscient male figure? And the reason we're not in the Garden of Eden is because
today,
a woman
Christians
built
today
it.
Don't think of the wife as to be obedient. And I mean, there's the growing trend is to atheism.
I think independent studies have shown that the vast majority of Americans do identify as Christians. And while they're not all Bible beaters or snake handlers, I do think that you can't minimize the fact that that's the basis for patriarchy, that I think most of them accept that God
is
our Father
wait a
in heaven.
Oh,
don't
my
they
God.
Say our Father
it was
in heaven?
It was in the Christian countries where, I would actually be more specific, it was in the in Britain where feminism was born, and it was in the West that it was the free economy that gave us the prosperity that was part of the foundation of women's liberation, and it was Christianity which had a woman and child at the center of the religion, a mother and a child, and women there's this tradition of dignity in Christianity. I'm Jewish, but I can tell you that Christianity, It's a complicated story, and I don't deny that there were periods where it was terribly sexist, but it's been a great force for liberation for all people.
Well, yeah, there were 12 disciples, and none of them were a woman. There, you know, people say, "Our Father who art in heaven." So you're right. You can point to all those things, and I'm not saying they're not true. But
they
again,
say Mother Nature. They say Mother Nature.
To not say that we're not subject to century after century after century of men being in the driver's seat and then say, hey, look, it's going a little too far in the other direction right now, that seems to be the way the pendulum always swings. It swings a little too far in another direction in an attempt to find some equilibrium and some equity. So I just said that for a second,
Johnny.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I mean, that's what it is. I mean, I said that early on in this interview that you know, I see it as affirmative action is probably a better description than what I said with pendulum. But yeah, I do see it. It's sort of leveling itself out, and I understand it. I mean, again, you and I have had a lot of talks at length about pro-feminism, but there is a point, and that point is now, where the pendulum needs to slow down and start going back. And that's really what I'm focused on. I don't deny history. I don't deny nature or any of that stuff. I never have. It's just there's boys that are being punished, and it's just, that's when you step up. I mean, that's
what
the feminist movement.
More.
Yeah, so that's just so you know, that's what I'm focused on now. Yeah, I don't deny history or anything. I'm just saying right now we see it. We have the numbers. We have the stats. Medicaid levels, everything.
I'm just wondering if for every little boy, though, that's punished for saying bang, bang, if there's not a little boy somewhere who's called a faggot because he doesn't want to play football because he wants to paint or draw or another. So,
well, it is kind of gay not to play football. I mean,
it really is. I agree.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's football.
Thanks for letting me make my point. I was just sort of
thank you, Johnny. Great point,
advocate.
Actually.
Yeah,
no,
I see the guys being really steroided up in sports. I see a big emphasis. I think everybody's getting bigger and heftier and stronger and bending over backwards to hit, you know. So I see a pretty strong evidence for masculinization and more about muscle and strength and power. I don't think that's in any danger of being wiped out anytime soon. I think force still prevails,
like,
and it's mostly administered by men.
My little brother's 17. Well, he talked about lifting, and I see him stand in the mirror, and he's like, "Oh, I need this bigger and that bigger." And why it's easy to equate muscles with masculinity, preening in the mirror and wanting to look a certain way is very vain, and I don't consider that masculine. I'm masculine. I'm fat. I'm hairy. I'm wearing pajamas right now. I don't give a shit what I look like. I don't even shave anymore. That's a man. If I'm standing in front of the mirror and like trying to get my triceps to match up, shoot me, please. That's feminine.
Well, I agree, but if you want to play offensive line in college and get lots of girls and you want to play football, you know, you're not going to be fat.
Well, you
got
to be quarterback.
They're not the guys that are taking down, you know, getting a lot of, you know what, from the women. I still think they like a muscular and a strong and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, no, I appreciate you giving me some time. I don't see force, which is for the most part still exerted by males. I don't see that running and hiding yet. I don't see it disappearing anytime soon. You know, whether we're talking about a war in Syria or anywhere else, whichever group of men can muster the most force and beat the other men down, that's what's going to happen and prevail. And I don't see it in danger at the moment. But I agree.
No,
with
and
you.
I'm not threatened of that.
Valid.
I'm not threatened. I don't know about Christina, but that I'm not threatened for that being in danger. I think that's always going to be here. I think there's always going to be war, and I don't necessarily attribute that just to masculinity. I mean, that's a whole other conversation. I'd love to do a show on that, but I'm talking about a 16, 17-year-old boy like Buck, who's
saying force,
putting hair gel.
Maybe it's not even masculinity, because we can argue about what masculinity is.
Right.
But force is about physics, and the law of physics says the stronger force will prevail, and no one will argue that with you. And most force is administered by men, and will be for a long time to come.
Okay, well, we have to do that show next time. Johnny, I appreciate your phone call. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
I would just say one last thing.
Thank
you,
Johnny.
Yeah.
Let me
put him back. I'm sorry. It's delayed. All right, he's back on.
Sometimes people will look at history as just a summary of male crimes and misdemeanors. And I think that you also have to factor in all the good things that men have done, because masculinity with morality has proven itself to be one of the most powerful and creative positive forces. Masculinity without morality is lethal. So we have to put a lot of effort into educating our young men, civilizing them, and there are ways to do it that are respectful of their manhood. And I think if we did that, we'd be a lot better off. And that's what I try to say in my book, The War Against Boys, is that we're both neglecting them educationally and ethically.
Oh, bravo.
I couldn't agree more. I'm with you there. I certainly didn't call to confess masculinity. It's a good thing when it's a good thing. I hear that. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course. Thank you.
Enjoying
I thought he made some excellent point, Christina. That's my mother's point.
You know what else,
way.
Too?
He's a very smart man. He calls every week. Yes.
He's a very nice man. I wish that when I went to campuses, there were nice people like that to debate, because sometimes people are quite angry. He didn't seem angry. He seemed...
Christina, this is Susie. I was wondering why you think people get so vitriolic about it and get so upset when you debate them.
Well, I don't know. Because I try to be, I try to stick to the evidence and not say more than I think we know. And I try to give the, you know, the this sort of, you know, my point of view is different from what they hear in gender studies. And a small percentage of people get really angry. And I've had
Why do you think that the gender studies folks hang on to statistics that you say are maybe not accurate or obsolete?
I think they're in the grips of a kind of a very all-encompassing theory about patriarchal conspiracy, and for some women, it's comforting, and
yeah.
they are their rational faculties are not in full operation, and they just allow it to take over their lives. I have seen young women
mm-hmm.
come to college and lose their sense of humor, which is I think
yeah.
that's the worst thing that could happen to a girl. And they become very angry at men, which is maybe a very bad thing to happen to a young woman. And just their balance, their mental and psychological balance, they go overboard. Maybe something terrible happened to them in their past, and they need some way to explain it, and so they are drawn to these theories. But it's better to be grounded in reality. And it's more compassionate to look and see how are people actually doing. Don't be captive to some theory. When you're looking at what we're looking at now is that our college campuses are going to end up like old age homes where you have lots and lots of women and a few, you know, handful of surviving men. I mean, that is not a recipe for success for anyone to have, you know, highly educated women and marginally educated men. So people talk about this pendulum going back and forth. Who wants this? I don't know who wants this. Who is the constituency for neglecting the education of boys? It's not most girls. It's not most mothers. It's not most American women. I think this is driven by a lobby, and I think that lobby has to be questioned and challenged, and I think we need a counterforce.
If I had an applause sound effect, I'd be playing them right now. I don't have any ready. Susie, I heard you sort of mm-hmm a few times when Johnny was talking. You seem to agree with, and not that Johnny was wrong. He made excellent points, but do you feel like maybe Christina and I aren't covering the other side of this properly? Because I'd like you to represent that if you feel you want to. Jenny's on the hold too, so she can do it.
Well, I did really appreciate some of Johnny's points, and when he did bring up Christianity, I'd have to say, Christina, I'm getting my PhD in religious studies, so it is close to my heart, and I do feel there is a lot of sort of patriarchy built up into some of the great religions. But so I was just sort of glad that he was bringing that up. I appreciate the dialogue more than I am invested in a particular side. But I do get annoyed when women tend to just really grab on to this idea that they're being oppressed when they might not be. And I agree with Christina that there is this comfort that comes from victimization, oddly. And I just want to get to the bottom of it more than I have a side that I'm...
I know. I've never fully... I mean, I'm a philosophy professor and not a psychologist, so I've never fully understood it. Because, as I said,
yeah.
I would consider myself a feminist in the old days when it started in
yeah.
the 70s, and it was fun, and it wasn't about being angry. This seemed to come in the 80s and 90s from these theorists or something in the universities.
I am genuinely curious, though. We touched upon the pornography idea earlier, but I am curious how you think the pervasiveness and accessibility of pornography has affected, gender interaction or feminism and things like that.
Oh, you know,
that for
I,
me?
I...
As an expert or for I'll let you handle this one, Christina.
here's the one thing I know about pornography and raunchiness and all of that. This is about one-third of people really like it. About one-third are very offended, and one-third don't care. And with women, maybe it's slightly different, but you can't really generalize about... I mean, of course, men men are drawn to pornography far more than women. But
yeah.
on the other hand, in terms of being offended by it, or but I will say I haven't really. I'm just it's kind of new to me that but what's going on the internet, and I feel I've read studies where it's sort of taking over the lives of young men. There's a professor Zimbardo at Stanford who thinks it's responsible for the decline of men, and then I've heard
yeah,
other people say that's wildly exaggerated, and it's not true. So I don't. I'm completely baffled by the data on.
We'll do a pornography show as well. I mean, like I said, this gets
yeah, we can we can look into it.
Yeah, I'll do some more research. And we'll get to the bottom of it. But I know you have to get going, Christina. I'm going to take one more phone call from my lovely sister Jenny, and then we'll move on. Jenny,
okay.
Hello.
Hi.
What's you sound like you're in a metal tank.
Hi,
there
Jenny.
You are.
I
What's
do.
Up?
Oh, okay.
Hi, Jenny.
So hi, guys. How are you doing?
So many women on this panel. God.
Yay.
My punishment.
Love it.
I do love it. Well, I love smart women. You're all smart. Like, see, I don't have a problem with women. I just have a problem with morons. I don't care what your gender is. This is a nice panel. So go ahead, Jenny. What can I do for you?
Oh, no, I was just listening at first, and I think it's a lot of really interesting points from Johnny. And I'm sorry, what's your guest's first name?
Christina Hoff Summers. Or
Christina,
Superwoman.
Okay. See, I have four sons also, so it's a lot of stuff that I do see every day. Like, I completely see a lot of what you're saying as reality, and I see the truth in that. And I see what Johnny's saying, too. I don't think that I don't think they have to be, like, mutually exclusive of each other, the 2 points. I think they can both coexist. Like, I think, you know, I think we get caught up in the idea of polarization where, there, like, one thing being right has to mean that the other thing is wrong. And I think that that's where a lot of conflict and like the unresolved conflict comes from is like people don't realize that, you know, men are, you know, women's rights and women having rights doesn't mean that men lose rights. And it doesn't mean that they have to lose position or be disrespected for the qualities that they have innately, you know. And I think a lot of people forget that there isn't an ultimate right or wrong, and that everything kind of coexists at the same time, and all realities are existent at the same time, and there's, you know, nobody has to negate anybody else. So I like hearing this conversation because I felt like that's actually what happened. Everybody kind of stated their perspective and their point, and everybody had a good point, and all those points can be true and coexist at the same time, and there's no arguing and any of your petty banter that you so love to.
No, this is much closer to the real Jake.
But
now, so
here's what
no one
I
ever
wish.
Calls in with intelligent stuff, so it's hard.
Is that I enjoyed talking to that gentleman, and he was calm and reasonable, and I had a different point of view. This does not happen on the college campus. It's one point of view in the typical women's studies introductory course. If you look at the textbooks, it's one point of view. So the conversation that we're having, this does not go on most college campuses.
I can see that. And even having my kids in regular school, too, I really feel like curriculum, I feel like education is a huge problem because you're taught, like, when you're taking a course or you're taking a class, even in elementary and kindergarten, you're only getting one perspective. I think it would be really interesting if the education system, like, allowed every perspective. I want, like, my kids to learn creationism and evolution in the same class and then, like, make their own decision and, like, actually use that information to have a perspective that's true to who they are. I think, like, all of education's like that. I feel like that.
Well, up to a point. I mean, you can't. There's not time to teach every perspective, so you want to teach perspectives that have some plausibility and basis in the scholarship. And so I'm not sure I'd teach creationism in the schools, but I would certainly want to see kids exposed to a richer repertoire of theory and fact on these gender issues. And
well, they should listen to the Jake Pennant show once a week. That's
they
what
should,
that should be
because
curriculum.
The women's magazines get the information from the scholars, and the scholarship is a kind of in the hands of mostly hardline feminists, and they have a kind of brain trust, and the journalists go to them, and then it's disseminated. So there's not a healthy discussion about gender in this country.
Well, I can tell you, Jenny. Do you have anything else?
Do I? No, I'm good.
No. Thank you for your call. I can tell you, you know, just from my own experience, it's small insulated, obviously, in my little hermity world. But it's not just the college campuses. This conversation it spins out of control. I mean, I deal with it all the time. I deal with it whether it's on Twitter or on this show or in my own circles. And it is something that really, what I hear when Johnny called and what I hear from you, Christina, is I do hear that everybody kind of feels on some level that they're not respected or they're not listened to. And whether you're a man or a woman, it's both sides are sort of making the same case, like, well, we feel like we're being pushed over, it's a society, and blah, blah, blah. It's kind of interesting for me today just to be a moderator to kind of see both sides, that if both sides feel that way, then there must be some truth to it. But at the same time, it can't be completely true either way. And there just has to be some sort of compromise.
A lot of the things Johnny said, a lot of the things he said were not exactly accurate.
Right.
And
well,
they are in the textbooks. They are in the textbooks. I mean, his analysis of women in sports, it's just wrong. I mean, it's not that women are the have-nots in sports right now in terms of participation. It's not that women are the have-nots in I don't even agree with what he said about Christianity, because, I mean, name a major world religion that has been more conducive to women's rights.
Well, he was making
Islam,
the actual scripture.
Confucianism? I don't think so.
Well,
he
just means the basis of
the
religion, and Judaism, too. I mean, the gods are patriarchal, and that's just the tenet of the religion, but I don't think in their practice they're that way. And I think that's what he was speaking to. But, again, we could go off on a million different things. I'm gonna end this interview now and let you get on with your life. I appreciate it. But, yeah, we've got so many shows now with you that we've got to do. We've got to plan around because there's literally too much to talk about.
Yeah, Christina, you're stuck with us.
Yeah.
So. Okay, I'll come back. Anytime, let me know.
I appreciate
it. Thank you, Christina.
Thank you,
bye.
Christina. I know she only wanted to be on for a half hour, so she was nice enough to go along. I thought that
was
fascinating.
Nice.
Guys, what did you guys think?
Oh, I loved it. That was great.
We'll do an Oprah after the show now. I'm just kidding.
Can I say one quick thing? Because someone said, why don't you say that on air? And I'm thinking, well, because fucking six people are talking. I got to wait my turn.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you were talking about football and war and all the masculine things that men do, one thing we said in a Twitter talk about football, or I said before, was these masculine things are actually hurting men. So I don't know if you want to call them masculine or stupid, because they get brain damage, they get killed.
Absolutely.
They're not masculine. They're taking wrestling on the floor with your kids to a whole nother level, to an idiotic level.
Yeah.
So it injures men. It hurts men. That doesn't help your cause, playing football or wanting to be a football star.
Well, men are, that's just something we accept. I mean, whether it's sports or just your day-to-day job, you are going to die at a higher rate, and you are going to get injured at a higher rate than women. That's just the way the world is.
Well, I'm talking about football and war. They're not something to
say it's masculine
to be proud of.
No, but even a job. Like, look at the numbers of men that die in the job. I mean, it's a violent world. I've talked about this before, and, you know, I appreciate Johnny's comments and yours on football, and it's just a game, but you take football away, you do it, it doesn't matter. Men are, we're just the world. It's women, too. We're all violent, and I think everybody's got this weird negative aspect on it, because when you think violence, you're thinking rape and children and war and innocent, but your food, your sandwich that you're going to eat today, roast beef, that's violent. It's shaved animal meat off its bones. I mean, as I speak now, 1,000 life forms are being murdered or cultivated. It's just the way the world is. And I always reject the notion that it is masculine or male, because it's just human. I just see it as human. And fuck humans. Look at monkeys. Look at cheetahs. Every animal, the universe, the world, it's violent. And I just say, take the negative connotation off it. Accept it for what it is. Obviously, I'm not promoting anarchy or murdering people, but to say that it's football and men that make things violent, it's just stupid. I have a problem with that. The world is violent. Women are violent. Your shoes, your leather shoes, you think that was grown in a factory? You know what I mean? No, but seriously, your leather purse, y'all fight over leather purses or whatever it is. I mean,
I was just picturing us throwing shoes, actually, when you said
shoes. Or women on fucking, check out Black Friday after Thanksgiving and watch women go to Walmart and fight over a pair of shoes. I mean, people are getting their eyes gouged out with high heels. It's a violent world. And I personally reject it being put on men, because you guys are just as guilty of it as we are. And it's just, let's all hold hands and accept the fact that we're horrible, violent people. Thank you.
And not take it out on little boys in classrooms that are role-playing games that we've been role-playing since we could think.
Well, there's nothing worse to a boy to say, you know, use your words. Because, I mean, I'm 35. This morning I was in martial arts class. I was getting elbowed in the skull. I have a thing on the side of my head that's huge from getting elbowed in the head. And you know, that's violent. And a lot of people can look at that from the side and go, oh, it's so stupid. But it's like, I'm learning structure. I'm learning discipline. I'm learning what I can take, what I can't take. I'm learning how I react to fear. I'm also helping other people deal with their issues in a one-on-one situation that's way more honest than any conversation you can have. And I'm proud to be a part of that. And it's violent. And sometimes violence can bring peace. Sometimes it can bring, you know, philosophy. I mean, discussions. There's so much to it that I can't even get into now because I feel rushed. But it's just something we all kind of have to sit back and go, well, let's not say boys by playing with guns and football are going to be stupid and violent and cause all wars. Wars are going to happen regardless. Even now, in this pussified culture that we all agree is happening, wars are still happening. Violent video games are still happening. Johnny said it. MMA is more popular now than any other sport, and it's going to happen. And in fact, you could even make the argument the more you crush this out of boys, the more they repress it, and the more violent they do become. Hence the porn that I watch. Anyway, we have a lot to get to. I know we want to wrap the show, but I think it's time for our very special moment, Jen, don't you? Or do we have something else?
I think it is time. It's, 1:55. Let's do
this. Or Susie, did you want to talk about your Facebook?
No, forget about me.
No, I love you. Quit it. You were very good today.
I love you.
Kiss me too. Where? All right, well then, let's wrap this shit show up with a very special moment now. We are going to be doing the pedo show soon. I don't know if it's next. When is it, next week or 2 weeks, Jen?
2 weeks, because we don't have Webweaver for 2 weeks.
Yeah, and the pedo defenders need to get ready. Webweaver's got to get his pedo man cape on. Just kidding, I'm just trying to make him mad. So the pedo show's in 2 weeks, but and you follow the Twitter wars. We've been getting into it. But what's happened, sadly, is one of our most loyal fans and followers and friends is gone. His name is Alfoy. Shannon is his real name. He called here every week, you guys. And he was very, very supportive of me from the very beginning. And, in fact, my famous Rosie O'Donnell interview, it was Alfoy that I pre-interviewed. He was a big fan. And he gave me a lot of insight. And he's given me advice, and I really do like him. But he is gone. He flipped out, right, Jen?
He flipped out. We've had to say goodbye.
I'm sorry, keep talking because I'm trying to find the song.
What happened? Why did he flip out?
Yeah, Jen, explain it. Why did you are...
The bottom line is that he did not like us saying Michael Jackson is a pedophile. So he
Why was he so passionate about this?
You know, that's a good question, but whatever it is, he's decided that he hates us, we're all pedophiles. He's just said everything you can say to kind of damage a relationship. So we've had to say goodbye. He's saying goodbye.
He thinks all of you are pedophiles, but Michael Jackson is not one.
Right.
Right.
No,
right.
He doesn't think we're pedophiles. Hold on, let's be real here. He's very protective. He worked at Neverland, so he claims to have inside information. Although, I don't know if running a fucking roller coaster means you're in the room while Michael Jackson's diddling little boy anus. I don't know that qualifies. But he said, you know, he worked at Neverland, and he was consulting a lawyer. He paid $250 in lawyer fees, and he felt like I wasn't giving. And I was going to let him call in and have time and state his case, but he felt because I wouldn't look at his stupid YouTube videos where Prince was talking about how Michael Jackson was wronged without supplying any evidence, that I didn't think that was a good basis for debate. He flipped out. But anyway, we'll talk about it more in the pedo show in 2 weeks, but we do want to say goodbye to Alfoy. Mm-hmm. He's gone the way of Xander. We've lost another one, and we are very sad about it. So Jen has prepared a special song that she'd like to sing to Alfoy.
Okay.
Sorry, I had to turn it down. There you go. Go ahead.
Have chose that pedo you adore. If you will always be alone. The bending man who kid bone. And you, my elf, will see. You lost a friend in me.
You lost a friend in me.
Elf, you're always tweeting. Here and there, protecting men who like butts with no hair.
No hair.
If you don't like what you find, how MJ fucks for
There's something you should know. You've got a place to go.
Got a place to go.
I used to say, ascend me. Now it's I. Now it's me.
Last verse. Bring it home, Jen.
Big finish. Here it goes.
We're going to miss you, Elf Boy.
Gone but not forgotten.
Is this the musical interlude here?
Wait, sorry. I didn't listen to a word they say. You don't see MJS. I do. Inside, I still loved you. Then you flipped out and went nuts. Go protect men who like boy butts.
Men who like boy butts.
Like boy butts.
Very good, Jen. Thank you, everybody.
Boy butts.
That was beautiful. That was
that
a fitting tribute.
Fucking nuts.
No, but really, Elf Boy, we are going to miss you. I'm sad that we lost a friend of the show over something so menial. I mean, Michael Jackson did rape boys. It's not something to be shocked over, and it's certainly not something to freak out and defend. But you've made your choice, and we'll miss you. Anybody else? Thought it was a good show? Got nothing else
that
to say?
Awesome.
Jen, you're an excellent singer.
No, I thought it was a great show. Yeah, right. But it was fun, and I really did like Elf Boy as well, so I'm sad that something like us having a difference of opinion can ruin a radio and Twitter and social media relationship.
Maybe he'll come back.
I don't think he's going to come back. He loves Michael Jackson. He loves Michael Jackson. He feels the way Michael Jackson feels about little boy ass. He's that fond of it. You know what I mean? Like he can't say anything bad about his hero. And we are going to talk about this on the Pedo Show, but you know, I'm jumping around. I don't really care, but here's how we're going to end the show. You can like an artist and disagree with their choices. You can like their art and
yes.
not like the artist. You know, Hitler painted, for Christ's sakes, you know. And Michael Jackson
right.
is one of the greatest musical performers that's ever lived, singer, dancer.
No doubt.
You name it, and I appreciate it. I'm a huge Jackson 5 fan. Off the Wall is one of my favorite albums of all time. Thriller changed my life. I used to have posters of Michael Jackson, but that doesn't change the fact that he rapes children, and I don't think that's okay. All right, on that Pedo Show. What's next week, Jen?
I don't know what we have going on next week. I know 2 weeks is the actual Pedo Show, so we'll have to figure something out.
Maybe we could do the porn show. Well, you know, let's ask the cult what they want to hear, because, you know, I'm sure they're sick of the feminist stuff, but I thought it was great. I thought Christina Hoff Summers was a genius. And let me just ask you this. Since it was a woman saying it, was it easier to listen to? Be honest. This is a question for both of you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Definitely.
Thank you. So the fact that I've been saying it for 2 fucking years every week and everyone's fighting with me, it's because I'm a man, right?
Yeah, it comes off as you're defending yourself. This comes off as she's defending men.
Yeah,
like, it's totally a different perspective.
So you guys are sexist, is what you're saying.
No.
No, but seriously, I mean, when I argue meds or antidepressants or any argument I make...
No, she's also a PhD, Jake.
Okay, how many times do I have to get a fucking PhD or doctor on the show to agree with what I've been saying for a year before anyone will give me any credit? Every time it's like, you don't know what you're talking about. Then you don't know enough about brain science. I get a fucking brain scientist. It's like, no, Jake's right. We have no fucking idea what we're doing. I do this all the time. I have doctors on all the time that agree with me. I need to be a woman, is what you're saying.
No, she just made good points.
And I don't?
That's right.
She made the same, she said the same thing I've been saying for years, Susie.
No, you just say everything's pussification.
She said wussification. She agreed.
Yeah, that I could get on board with.
So it's the letter. Semantics. So let me get this right. I have a penis, semantics, and accredited PhD. So I'll never go anywhere. Thanks a lot. You guys are awesome. Now I'm mad. Now I'm going to go throw a huff puff because I'm feminized, and that means I get to go throw a bitch fit. right.
No.
Thank
I always
you.
Agree
AKA
with you.
Snuggle with your cats.
There's nothing manlier than surrounding your body with warm pussies. You know what I'm saying? All right. Shit show over. Thanks, everybody. Thank you for saying what I've been saying for 2 years, but finally getting through to some of these stubborn women because you have a vagina. Thank you, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye, Jake.